Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. In just a few moments, we'll be introducing our in-studio guest, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and it tells us these words of wisdom. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "And Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him, in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Verses 1 through 22, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for the fact that, amongst other things, your word is a faith map that teaches us the importance of living our whole lives by faith, trusting you, following you one day at a time, one step at a time, knowing that you always, always, always can be trusted, and that you want us to learn to trust you in any and all situations. Guide us so that daily we're growing in our knowledge of how to follow you, growing in our love for your word, and growing in our commitment to reading and obeying your word each and every day. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you once again to connect with us on Facebook, if you would. That's at the Hour of Intercession. And please like our Facebook page. And also, we'd like to invite you to our just our website as well, the Urban Family Talk website. There you'll find our email list for the latest poll question, news articles, action alerts, and blogs from Urban Family. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. We're grateful to have in studio with us Reverend Ron Ball. He is the, for 5 years, he was the associate pastor to Charles Stanley at First Baptist Church in Atlanta, and he's presently on the board of directors of Asbury University. Ron, how are you today?
Great, Joseph. Excellent to be here.
Good to have you with us, and I appreciate you. Even though you didn't plan to be on the broadcast when you got here, we're glad you were able to come on. And you did a devotion for us here at AFA today and did a wonderful and a powerful job. And so I'm going to ask Ron, as we start off, if you'll tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. And you're the director of Choose Greatness Ministries, correct?
Yes, and that's been an amazing outreach the last 2 years. I'll Tell your listeners a little bit of background so they'll understand how this developed. Mm-hmm. All of us love America. We want to see this be a godly nation. And I love your emphasis on prayer because that is so vital. We have to pray because God works in answer to prayer. That's right. God gives ideas sometimes, and that's what happened because 3 or 4 years ago, I was having a time of prayer very early one morning, earlier than I even normally get up, Joseph. Mm-hmm. And God just moved my heart and gave me the idea for Choose Greatness Ministries. I did spend the 5 years with Charles Stanley, wonderful time. God so moved in that part of my life. And then after that, I moved into the business community because I had a calling and a passion to take the message of Jesus Christ into corporate America, into the business world. Mm-hmm. And so for the last number of years, over 25 years, I've been doing business seminars, corporate seminars. I've had the wonderful opportunity to speak live to over 8 million people in these opportunities, and it's been incredible because the response has been so heartfelt. Businessmen and businesswomen have responded spiritually in ways that were beyond anything we ever even dreamed of. We've had over 700,000 businessmen and businesswomen make commitments to Jesus Christ, full-time commitments as adults who had no spiritual background at all through the seminars that we've conducted. Mm-hmm. And out of that came Choose Greatness America. And the reason that name was chosen, I think you'll like this, Joseph, the reason that name was chosen is because we wanted to put a friendly face on Christian conservatism in this country. We didn't want to just hammer people and tell them what they were doing wrong. We wanted to emphasize God's message in the most positive way possible. So the idea Choose Greatness came to the surface. Give an example. I spoke to a group last year in Washington, D.C. We had 5,000 people, and 80% of them were 25 years of age and younger. And so I did Choose Greatness, and I asked the whole group, 5,000 of them, very excited. You can imagine that a crowd that young, there's a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, I said, how many of you want a great life? And they said, yay, yay, we want a great life. Mm-hmm. And I said, how many of you want great income? Yay, yay, we want great income. How many of you want a great marriage or a great family someday? Yay, yay, we want that too. Mm-hmm. So I said, you want a great life? Yes. And they said, yes, yes, yes. And that was the open door I was looking for, because then I said, well, let me tell you how to have a great life. And then I moved into God's principles. Mm-hmm. And I explained that there are reasons you have a great life. It's not accidental. It's not automatic. You have to follow God's principles. And here are the principles. And I tell you, Joseph, we had an overwhelming hurricane of response. Mm-hmm. We spent 2 days speaking, my team and I, to hundreds, probably a couple of thousand individuals who sought us out during the conference with spiritual hunger, wanting to know about greatness, wanting to know about Jesus. But it all was triggered by this idea of having a great life. Mm-hmm. And so we believe God's given us that name. And our website, choosegreatness.com, also connects to that. I've written a book called Choose Greatness. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I got an email from a woman just an hour ago wanting to get Choose Greatness books for her church. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting the question she asked me. She said, is it a hard book? You know, and she said, would teenagers read it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's so great about it. It's when I wrote the book, I asked God to help me put together a book that explains Christian principles of greatness, but do it in a way that's so simple. So the way I explained it to Tim this morning, I said, I've written a book for people who don't read because it's so simple. It's just, it's under 100 pages on purpose, and it's just so basic. And we've gotten lots of response from teenagers on this book who absolutely love it.
Well, if someone listening wants to get a copy of the book, how would they do that?
Well, the best way is to go to choosegreatness.com. You can we have bookstore relationships, but we have primarily promoted this through the website. Mm-hmm. The Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., I did a conference for them last year. I did two of them, as a matter of fact. And on one of them, I did Choose Greatness. So they bought a bunch of the books from me. So that's been a good avenue. So choosegreatness.com, it's available in hard copy or as an ebook.
Okay. And so an individual or a church that wants to get it just goes to the web, go to the website.
Exactly. In fact, let me tell you about something very exciting.
Okay.
I did a video, a movie quality video in October, and we've not released this video until this week because it's a video for pastors. In fact, Tim Wildman saw a copy of it, and asked me to come down today. That's what originated this opportunity. The video is an 11-minute video encouraging pastors and church leaders to get involved in moving the culture for Christ, to really get involved with courage, not cowardice, but courage. We're very, in my organization, we're very pro-Bible, pro-life. We're pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And so we want to encourage pastors, because there are so many of them that if they really became engaged in moving the culture for Christ, it could be a miraculous movement. And so the video is also on choosegreatness.com. And if any pastor listening or any church leader is listening, just watch that video, and it will tell you what to do to train your church spiritually to be involved and win the battle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they can go to the website to see that.
Yes. And by the way, pastors can download a free, totally free, Pastor's Action Pack. Mm-hmm. And it gives them training videos and study guides and stuff they can use. We encourage pastors to start what we call ROC groups, which stands, ROC stands for Renew Our Country. Mm-hmm. And it's all biblical. It's all solid as a rock, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. And it's just very exciting. We're getting great response to this. We've heard from a number of Christian leaders, and just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ron, would you take a moment now to pray for pastors? You know, there are really a lot of issues and concerns that really— pastors are so pivotal in so many ways. Would you pray for just leaders?
Yes, and let me say to the pastors listening, I've been a pastor three times. I ended up with Charles Stanley as his assistant for those 5 years. And I've also been a small church pastor with just a handful of people where I did everything from lead the music to to fix the heater in the morning. Okay, so I understand these men are just sacrificing their hearts, and they're working so hard. So I'd love to pray for them. So let's do that.
All right.
Father in heaven, it is such a privilege to pray for pastors, for these individuals who are in positions of important spiritual leadership. Lord, I pray from my heart that you will give them an anointing of success in reaching people for Christ. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will help their families, bless their marriages, encourage their children. I pray you'll bless them financially, because it's hard to be focused on the ministry if you're under financial stress.
Yes, Lord.
So I pray, Lord, that you'll give them financial prosperity, and also that you'll give them good health. I just pray, Lord, that you will grant your blessing on these leaders as they move forward. And I also pray one more thing, that they'll be inspired to stand up, to not fear the government, to not fear the IRS, but to stand up and boldly proclaim your message as it applies to morals and politics and every issue in this nation, because people need the truth of God. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Ron, different question. How would you define the word great? You know, lots of people use the word in different ways. How would you define the word great?
You know, it's so interesting. I've done a number of interviews lately, and I think you're the first person to ask me that. So congratulations, Joseph. That was an intelligent question, so thank you.
Okay.
Very smart. You know, when we think of greatness in our culture, people are confused because they think of greatness in terms of materialism and big things and cars or jewelry or being famous. Mm-hmm. For example, we live in a very celebrity-driven culture, as you know, if you become a celebrity, that's like awesomely beyond everything. But here's an interesting answer to your question. The ancient Greeks had a definition of greatness that I think we need to recover. Mm-hmm. They taught that greatness, if a person was great, a man was great, or a woman was great, you are only great, they taught, if you do great things, noble things, wonderful things to help and benefit other people. That's greatness.
We're gonna pick up on the other side of the break and let you elaborate a little bit more. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Ron Ball. We'll be right back.
One of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative, and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out, and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God And I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
This is probably the oldest question there is concerning the things of God. Is it okay to ask God questions? If we look at when the angel of the Lord visited Zechariah about he and Elizabeth, he questioned God and it didn't work out too good. The angel of the Lord visited Mary. She questioned God and he gave her an explanation. So what was the difference? Have you ever heard the phrase, when you know better, you do better? I think that that was what was happening with Zechariah. He and Elizabeth weren't young and naive like Mary. They had been around for a minute and they should have known better. God takes not only our actions into account, but our motives too. It's our attitude or the state of our hearts that makes the difference. Don't believe me? Take inventory then. If the Lord were to visit you right now with surprising off-the-wall news, what would your reaction be? If your reaction isn't what it should be, then ask the Lord for help. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's Day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris, the flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and search for the product Genesis Fact in the search bar.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh.
You're listening to the music of Anthony Evans, the song In Christ Alone. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Ron Ball. He's the director of the ministry, Choose Greatness Ministries. And Ron, would you pick up? You were just defining for our listeners the word greatness.
And I was just letting your listeners know that you asked a smart question. So I commend you for that. As I was saying a moment ago, the ancient Greeks had the idea that greatness was sacrifice, that you could not mix greatness and selfishness. Now, the reason that contrasts with our culture, in my view, is that today everything's driven by ego. You're supposed to be bigger and better and badder than everybody else. You know, you're supposed to be the big dog on the block. But actually, the Greeks said, no, that's not true. It's when you give up yourself and sacrifice yourself, that's when you become noble-hearted. Mm. And that's when you become great. Now, look at the Bible. That is precisely what God's Word teaches. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave his life. He sacrificed himself. Mm-hmm. Remember, I believe it's in Philippians where it says he did not cling to the Godhead there in heaven. He came to earth. He surrendered that temporarily so he could Not that he was never not God. He was always God. But what I mean is he was willing to come and be born in the frailty of human form and flesh. So that sacrificial element, I think, is missing today. Hmm. When I talk to young men and young women about greatness, I try to emphasize to them that greatness may be based on who you are, but it is essentially what you do. Mm-hmm. You have to do something sacrificial, do something for other people. And greatness is never about you. It's about what you do for the other people God loves. So it's actually the opposite of selfishness.
And, you know, Ron, that's an interesting definition because I would tend to think the vast majority of people would not define it that way.
No. Because right now, it's very interesting. I read a study just a week ago, Joseph, it was very interesting, that said that young people getting out of high school, going into college, like 18, 19, that age group, that when they were polled last year on what they thought the greatest purpose of life for them, what that would be, their answer, the great majority, was to become famous. That was their answer. Now, what that means is that they believe that their worth and value in life is connected to how well-known they can become. That's why social media is so popular, because they're famous to their friends. They're posting about themselves. They're doing selfies all the time. And see, everything is me, 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 me. But what that does, it shrinks the soul. It shrinks your soul. And you can't experience greatness in that way. What I teach in this book, and it's very simple, is that greatness is based on certain things like responsibility and morality and thinking of others and sacrifice and giving and delayed gratification, things that made America great. And we have to recover that, or we will become a shriveled up, spiritually dead country. We're at that point right now, and there has to be a recovery, and we have to teach greatness again, godly greatness.
You know, it brings to my mind the person Jesus referred to as one of the greatest was John the Baptist.
Yes, you know? Who diminished himself. That's an excellent example.
You know, he must increase and I must decrease.
Amen. That is such a good example. I wish I'd thought of that. That's a great example.
And it's really powerful to note, too, that like the more we understand what faith is about and following God, it's submitting ourselves to the word and the will and the spirit of
submission.
God. And God knows how to make all of us great if we're just following.
Amen. You know what? I have a close friend. He's a great man. His name is Dexter Yeager. I met him through my work in doing training for the Amway Corporation, and I've done a lot of work for them. They're wonderful people, great Christians. Well, Dexter has a downline that is larger than any in Amway. He has the largest group in all the world under him, just millions of people. And he's generated a lot of money, and he gives a lot of money away. But here's what it's interesting. Dexter, a number of years ago, had a stroke. And I saw a bad stroke, and I saw him after that, and it was very painful to recover from that, a lot of therapy. And I asked him, what gets you up in the morning? And he said two things. He said, number one, he said, I trust God for the strength I need through Christ. And I expected that answer because he's a godly man. But the second answer surprised me. He said, I lie there in bed and I feel all that pain in my arms and legs, and I think, how can I get up? So I say my prayer, ask for God's help, and then he said, I picture all the people who depend on me, all the people who need me. And he said, the more I think about them, the energy comes into my body and I'm on my feet before I know it. And I thought, wow, he's thinking not of himself. He's thinking of them. That's greatness, that you're sacrificing for them, not for your fame or your wealth. He's sacrificing for them. And incidentally, he invests and gives away 90% of his income.
Really?
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
That's powerful. Just so a servant's heart is a big part of it. Really. So, okay.
Well, you know how corrupting ego is, even in even in Christians.
Right.
I mean, I was speaking at a church in Pittsburgh a lot of years ago. And this was a man I'd gone to school with, and I'd agreed to come do a conference for him, a spiritual conference. And on Wednesday night, we had a great crowd. On Wednesday night, I gave an invitation to come forward and make a commitment to Christ. And there were a lot of people came forward, and they're all praying up there. And I remember I went to the first individual as a woman, and I said, what are you praying for? And she said, well, I'm praying because my sister and I hate each other. And we're both Christians, but we hate each other. And she said, we've not spoken in over 4 years, mm-hmm. and she said, we just hate each other, and I want God to forgive me for that. She said, I can't live with it any longer. So I prayed with her and went all the way down that line of people, and this sounds like something out of a movie. Mm-hmm. This really happened. Mm-hmm. There was a woman at the very opposite end of the church who had come to pray. Mm-hmm. She was crying, and I said, why'd you come? She said, well, I hate my sister. And she said, we've been estranged for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now, you've already guessed what's coming. Mm-hmm. Those two sisters had come to that service not knowing the other was coming. Mm-hmm. But it taught me something. Number one, it taught me what God can do to bring people together.
That's right.
But it also mm-hmm. taught me something else, that these were both professing Christians, mm-hmm. but they had such bitterness mm-hmm. and such ego and such refuse, like, I have to be right. I have to be right. And that just corrupted their relationship. So I think that greatness needs to be recovered in our churches too, true mm-hmm. greatness and true mm-hmm. a true spirit of Christ mm-hmm. in our hearts.
A willingness to be able to say, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I was wrong. Forgive me. You know, healing words that help people and move people, as opposed to, I don't apologize to anybody. You know, I'm not wrong.
I know, it's tough. And I tell you this too. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I had to make a decision. I was God had opened a wonderful door for me, and I was speaking to 25,000-30,000 people a night. Mm-hmm. Great crowds, great conventions. And Charles Stanley, my whole responsibility when I was at First Baptist was just to preach when he was away. So I'd be preaching to thousands of people as a young man. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a decision early that it wasn't about me. Right. I mean, the Bible says mm-hmm. in Psalm 127:1, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. And so I had somebody ask me in a seminar in New York a couple of years ago. I was up there speaking, and they said, well, how do you handle all these crowds? And I said, well, I'll never think about them. They said, what do you think about? I said, well, before I speak, and this was not a Christian who was asking me this. Mm-hmm. I said, before I speak, I always say to myself, I'm here because God wants to help these people. It's not about me. So how can I best help them? And the more I focus on their needs, when I get up to speak, I'm not thinking about me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not tense and I'm not concerned about how I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If I got up there and thought, am I doing a good job speaking? That'd mm-hmm. be terrible. Mm-hmm. But if I can focus on them, God will bless that. So mm-hmm. I just want to encourage all your listeners, think of somebody else today. Mm-hmm. You know, think of the people around you. Think of how God can use you to bless them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's greatness.
And you know, Ron, I think of this too. It's exciting to me to hear you share of what God has you doing. You go into the secular world with the gospel message kind of disguised. Well, I guess I shouldn't say disguised, because you are helping people.
Yeah, it's embedded.
It's embedded, yeah. And there's such a need for that.
Thank you. Because
there's such a need for us to go into the world with the gospel. And so many times the gospel is housed in the four walls of a church, and so many believers, that it's not a part of their life or their lifestyle to share the gospel.
Right, right.
And we need to creative and bold ways to get out there where the unsaved people are, and that's such a powerful way of doing
that. Well, when I realized that God was opening these corporate doors, mm-hmm. I realized I had a responsibility, mm-hmm. again, that it wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. It's about God's kingdom. And so what I decided was I would make clear to all of these groups that invited me that mm-hmm. yes, I will come and speak on leadership and sales training and motivation and mm-hmm. and techniques. I will do everything you're hiring me to do mm-hmm. for your sales team or your leadership group. But I said during the presentation, I just want you to know up front that I'm going to give a personal testimony witness for knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the groups are pretty skeptical and they say, well, I don't know about that. And I said, well, just why don't you try this? I've had a 90% rate of being asked back. Mm-hmm. And God has just honored that and blessed. And I do it everywhere I go. I remember, I think you and I talked earlier about it. There was a Jewish company owned by a Jewish company in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And they asked me if I would come and speak. And I said the same thing. I'm going to give a witness for Christ. They said, okay. And so I was very respectful to them. I didn't denigrate their faith. I was very respectful. Mm-hmm. But I gave my witness for Christ. And the people loved it. And the people mm-hmm. came to, and the owners of the company came to me in Brooklyn and said, wow, this was great. Would you come back next year? And they became two of my dearest friends. I think part of it is how you treat people too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm never angry, never mm-hmm. adversarial. I don't attack people, but I never deviate from the clearness of the gospel.
Ron, I want to ask you if you'll do this now. Would you pray for every listener in this regard that they would learn how to make want make the high priority God wants it to be in their life, to learn how to share the gospel in their world where God wants them to share. Would you pray for
that? Yes, I want to pray for that, and then I'm going to share something that may help the people after I pray. God just popped in my mind as we're praying. Okay, let's pray first.
Okay.
Lord, I want to thank you that this show talks about intercession, and then we really intercede.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I want to thank you that this show is doing what it teaches people to
do. So I pray now,
Lord, that you will help people to share Jesus with their friends and their relatives and their neighbors and their coworkers. Lord, I know that it's scary. I know people are nervous and they just don't want to do it because they're afraid of making a mistake. But Lord, let them know that you will give them a special anointing for this and that they will grow spiritually in powerful ways if they'll take this step. Lord, you'll bring the blessing like a boomerang back on them. And I pray in Jesus' name that you, Heavenly Father, will give them a hunger and a desire to reach people, and you'll give them the anointing to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you. Thank you, Lord, for raising up a brother in the Lord like Ron who understands your anointing on his life and who you're using to go into places where many would consider hard places to go to carry the gospel, Lord. And Father, bless and prosper the work of his hands. Just anoint him with an even greater anointing to more and more be used more mightily of you in the context of where you've placed him. And Father, Lord, speak mightily to every person listening today. Help us more and more to grow to where we come. We long to be, so that we have a longing to be used more by your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with your Spirit and help us to move not in seeing it as a burden, but seeing the joy of sharing the gospel, the joy of being a vessel you can reach through and touch people for today and all eternity. And Lord, help us to know that it's the most exciting life we can live, where you're using us to do what you've called us to do, to shine light in a dark, dark world. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
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 Well, Joseph, I want to share something with your listeners that may help them.
Okay.
We at Choose Greatness have techniques that we teach people on how to reach others. I've already mentioned that we are encouraging pastors and church leaders to go to choosegreatness.com and download that free video. Mm-hmm. I emphasize it's all free. We're not making anything on this. Mm-hmm. That's not the purpose of it. It's an 11-minute video that will inspire and motivate pastors to get involved in moving the culture for Christ. Mm-hmm. So, and then when they do that, they can download their free Pastor's Action Pack. I've already mentioned that, but I want to add something else to that. Mm-hmm. For the last almost 25 years, I've had the wonderful opportunity to do a large percentage of the field training for Amway. I've mentioned that already. Mm-hmm. Amway is state-of-the-art, second to none, outstanding at sales and persuasion techniques. Not manipulation. We don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. But techniques on how to reach people. Well, I've recently received permission to make some of those techniques available to the Christian community. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I went to the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. last year to speak for them, that's what they had me do. Mm-hmm. So I've organized a new opportunity called the People Magnet. Churches can use it for evangelism. People can use it for persuasion. Conservative groups can use it for their conservative views on government and the country. It's just full of great techniques. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wants a preview of this, there is something they can download an audio of this on my website. It's simply called The People Magnet. Mm-hmm. I think there is some cost for that, but that's not income for me. That's something that's just on there that kind of runs the website.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, The People Magnet is a collection of techniques that will make the most scared person in the world comfortable telling about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to stop. I hate to jump in with a break here, but it's coming up. But I want you to pick up right there. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Ron Paul, the director of Choose Greatness Ministries. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud got to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
What's going on? It's your man, Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
With every delivery, you should get a receipt. Well, Dr. Tony Evans says that's exactly what happened when Jesus delivered us spiritually. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the debt for sin was fully paid. The resurrection is your receipt. When Jesus rose, he didn't rise privately. He said he was seen in 1 Corinthians 15 by more than 500 brethren. If they were to ever find the body of Jesus Christ, I'd lose my receipt. If they could ever prove that he's still dead, I'd lose my receipt. Ah, but when I stand before a holy God on Judgment Day and he says, Tony Evans, why should I let you in here? How can you prove that your sins have been paid for? I'm gonna look to his right hand and say, receipt, speak. But the resurrection did more than that. It ascended Jesus Christ triumphantly over all principalities and powers. This is a picture of a conqueror seated on his throne with his heel on the enemy, leading a parade of the captives through the street. He set you and I who know him free, so Satan, since he holds the gates of death, no longer can hold you because you were set free from your spiritual incarceration in the prison of Hades. So stop walking like the night of the living dead when you've been given brand new life in Jesus Christ.
Learn more about the victory Christ died to give you. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare, and find new hope whether you're dealing with relational concerns or tougher issues like sexual or emotional problems, substance abuse, and so on. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get the details and make your request. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Donnie McClurkin and Yolanda Adams, the song simply entitled The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today is Ron Ball, the director of the ministry Choose Greatness Ministries. Ron, you were just talking about the people magnet. Would you pick up where you left off?
Oh, I'd love to, Joseph, because I find that there are certain sales and persuasion techniques that are used in the business world and in corporate situations that are transferable to the church because these are techniques that help you read people, help you understand how to approach people. Give you an example. When I speak to individuals who are either promoting their church, the Lord personally, a relationship with Christ, or they're promoting maybe a conservative belief system as far as politics, a lot of them, because they believe in this so much, they come across as angry or adversarial or like they're attacking someone. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I use these techniques to teach them how to be friendly and how to not compromise the truth, because I don't believe in that. People need God's truth. But how to not compromise it in a friendly way that make people like you. In other words, you want to tell people the truth and make you like them for it.
That's right.
So and then make them like you for it, rather.
Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, you knew what I meant. Yeah, I kind of reversed that. But also, people have a deep-seated fear of rejection. They don't want to make a mistake. They're afraid of looking foolish or being embarrassed. But also, they don't want people to reject them or say no to them. And that's not the worst thing in the world. And that's something we teach people, techniques to overcome rejection and the fear of it. And just think how many Christians could win so many people to Christ if they didn't have a fear of rejection. And we have ways to help them get over that, which is very exciting.
And so that's the people magnet.
Now they can. That's not one of our freebies, but it's we keep it very discounted. We keep that really low, okay. But people can get it on the ChooseGreatness.com website. They just go to the store and they can click on that and they can download the people magnet. I've done it all over America. In fact, there's one of the largest organizations, political organizations in the country that's conservative, that believes in pro-life and all the things we believe in, has invited me to do their fall strategy retreat in Orlando. And guess what? They want me to do the people magnet because they want to know how to be great with people. We've got one part of this people magnet that's called How to Read a Person Like a Book. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And I don't want to throw your people, but I'll tell you something insightful here. I went and interviewed two Las Vegas magicians. The guy do the tricks on stage, not real magic. We know that. Because they were so skilled, and I discovered insights from them that I thought, wow, Christians could use this because they had ways to walk into a room, ways to get people to trust them. See, the whole purpose of that is so you can give the message. Now, I'm not trying to promote going to Las Vegas to see a magician. I'm promoting finding the best techniques, the best strategies, and using them for God's kingdom.
That's neat. Share your website again.
ChooseGreatness.com. In fact, you know what? I've been on the radio enough. I probably should say it again. ChooseGreatness.com.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, then. We have just a few minutes left, Ron. Can you tell me, in relation to the work that you do with Choose Greatness, can you share some things, insights to families, to marriages, or families
absolutely,
bless and encourage them?
You know, it's very interesting because Choose Greatness deals with greatness in every area of life. The Family Research Council of Kentucky a while back invited me to do marriage training conferences all over the state of Kentucky. That's my home state, so I was very happy to do that. We had a terrific experience, wonderful response. It was just absolutely great. What I've found is that Satan is severely attacking Christian families. You know that. And he's particularly targeting Christian husbands. Men are under such immense sexual pressure. Temptation is rampant. And I think what makes it worse today is because because there's such availability of sexual opportunity. It's just
easy access.
Thank you, Joseph. Easy access. It's just so available. And because of that, these men are under tremendous pressure. So so I think that men need to be accountable to other men, for one thing.
That's right.
One thing I've learned is that sexual temptation thrives in secret. In other words, if you keep your pornography habit secret or you keep your sexual desires outside marriage secret, they'll become more powerful. They can just totally dominate you if you're not careful, because you're fighting that battle alone. So you need other men to be accountable to, who will be your friend, help you. But another thing on marriage is I find that most of the time, and by the way, I've not even mentioned this to you or Tim, but my organization does marriage weekend conferences as well. We've had 11,000 couples go through our marriage training. Mm-hmm. And 90% of them sign up for the next one, mm-hmm. which is very encouraging. But the thing we emphasize, again, are techniques. Now, we do principles also. We start with that, but mm-hmm. we do all kinds of techniques on how do you argue with one another? How do you give you an example if you want to hear one. Mm-hmm. It's called the appointment technique. Mm-hmm. If we find a couple that just cannot reconcile their views and they just keep having fights, same fight every night, we mm-hmm. tell them to do a three-level appointment. On the mm-hmm. first night, the wife is given permission to say anything she wants to her husband about whatever it is they're disagreeing about, and the husband cannot answer. That's the rule. Cannot answer. He can take notes, but he can't answer. Mm-hmm. The next night, he can say anything he wants about it, and she cannot answer. That's tough. Mm-hmm. And then the third night, they compare their notes and come up with a compromise that will actually solve their problem. Mm-hmm. We do techniques like that. Now, that's one of like 40 that we do. Mm-hmm. We have so many, and I keep using the word techniques because mm-hmm. we are technique-driven in our training. Mm-hmm. I'm technique-driven in my sales training because we want to find practical ways to help Christians mm-hmm. and help individuals, things that actually work. So we go out, my team and I, and we research and test thousands of ideas and techniques to find the ones that are biblically sound, mm-hmm. that are consistent with Christian teaching, but that actually work. Mm-hmm. In other words, I don't get up and give 2 days of theory to someone. I get up and for 2 days say, do mm-hmm. this first, do this second. This really works. We're looking at immediate change. Mm-hmm. And so we give people the tools to do that.
Mm-hmm. Make wisdom that can be applied.
Exactly. Now, we do principle. We teach the wisdom behind it. Mm-hmm. Techniques alone, that would just be barren and sterile and empty and heartless. Mm-hmm. So we don't do that. But we teach the techniques after we teach the principles. Mm-hmm. I remember one couple in St. Louis came to one of our early marriage conferences. This is so funny. Mm-hmm. And they just could not, they were young, but they just could not communicate. They just could not do it. Mm-hmm. And finally, they asked for a private moment with me, and I said, great, sure, I'd be happy to talk to you. And the young wife, she's like 28 years old, turned to her husband, and I remember what she said. She said, you are just a romantic clod. She said, you just have no romantic brains. Of course, he was embarrassed. He was stirring. And I looked at her and I said, well, let's not embarrass him, okay? Mm-hmm. That's bad for a guy. Let's not embarrass him. But I was able to give them some techniques to work through that. Mm-hmm. About 5 or 6 months later, I got a card from them from Hawaii. They mm-hmm. were on a second honeymoon. They mm-hmm. had done all six of the techniques that I'd given them, and they all worked. And they, mm-hmm. they're happily married today. That was like, mm-hmm. That was like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So techniques are not good by themselves. You have to have God's principles undergirding them.
Right.
But once you understand God's wisdom principles, techniques will give you the tools to get the mm-hmm. job done. And I find that that's what's missing in a lot of teaching today, mm-hmm. Even in the church. What's missing is how do I do it?
Right.
How do I do it? What do I actually say? How do I do mm-hmm. these things? So.
And most all these items, just go on the website.
Yes, choosegreatness.com. One of my newest books is on there called How to Have a Great Marriage, and mm-hmm. it's based on our marriage weekends. It has a lot of those techniques in it. They can download it as an ebook, How to Have a Great Marriage, but it's all at choosegreatness.com.
Okay. Anything you'd like to say to parents that might be
Oh,
listening?
My goodness. I you know what? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. My daughter... Allison has just been elected state treasurer of Kentucky. She's the chief financial officer of the state. Hmm. It was her, this is the way I'm answering your question. This is her first race, her first election. She's 34 years old. She's a bankruptcy attorney, mm-hmm. Graduate of the University of Kentucky School of Law. She felt God calling her to run for political office. So mm-hmm. she had never run for office in her life ever. Mm-hmm. And she, we helped her with the campaign. We traveled the whole state with her. She was just elected in November. Mm-hmm. She is the youngest female state elected official in the United States. And we also found out, this is exciting to a mom and a dad, we also found out that she got the highest vote total of either party of any candidate in the last 40 years. So she just dominated. So she's now the chief financial officer of the state, the Kentucky State Treasurer. But we taught her very early to seek God. We led her to Christ when she was very young. And we taught her to always use discipleship techniques for her spiritual growth. We taught her Bible study. We taught her to make sure that she learned and practiced prayer every day alone. We taught her all those things, and now that's bearing fruit. Our son Jonathan just graduated from Liberty University. He's 21 years old, and he's going to law school, and he's a great young man with a heart for God. What I would say to moms and dads is, challenge your kids to greatness. When my daughter Allison was 8 years old, we took her off all allowances. Now, she thought this was a terrible idea. She was actually angry as a child. We took all her money away, and we said, if you're going to buy any toys, you're going to have to earn your money. And she was, like, shocked. So she started experimenting with businesses until she was 9 years old, and she started Positive Pencils International. She built that into such a big organization. She eventually sold to two Olympic teams. She Walt Disney Company contacted her because she was selling so many pencils. These were pencils with positive slogans on them, like, you can do it, I'm a winner. And she eventually paid her way through college with her pencil business. She started that, and she was 9 years old. Don't be afraid to stretch your children. Now, obviously, if she really needed something, we'd step in and help her as a child. We didn't just... Not that we didn't feed her or take care of her. We wanted her to learn to make and manage money. So when she became a lawyer, she sold her pencil business to her brother, Jonathan. So he's now operating her pencil business, and he's a law clerk and all that, but he still has the pencil business. We wanted to teach them. So I would say really get involved with your children. Don't be afraid to stretch them. Don't be afraid to challenge them. Now, love them with all your heart, and we do love our kids, but at the same time, teach them some of these principles of greatness: hard work, responsibility. One more thing, we taught our children to tithe when they've had their first income. My daughter, I remember, saved out of her first pencil business, saved $600 of tithe money and sent it to Focus on the Family when Jim Dobson was there, sent it to them because they had a show on radio called Adventures in Odyssey. And that show so spoke to her as a child that she sent him $600. And James Dobson met her in Colorado Springs personally to thank her for that. Isn't that great?
That was a neat experience.
And Jonathan, my son now, every dollar he makes, he tithes it. And God blesses them. So we've taught that to our children from the very beginning.
Praise God. Ron, our time is gone here. Tell our listeners once more the website.
ChooseGreatness.com.
All right. Ron, thanks so much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you, Joseph. God bless you.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Hope you got a lot out of that. I hope you go to the website, ChooseGreatness.com. You've been listening to The Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for The Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.